We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, welcome to the Papers podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. In this series, we speak to authors of papers published in one of ACAM's three journals. These are the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, commonly known as JCPP, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health, known as CAM, and JCPP Advances. Today, I'm interviewing clinical psychologist Dr. J.D. Lay, Paul Foundation Clinical Research Fellow at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Oxford. JD is the first author of the paper, Understanding the Relationship Between Social Camouflaging in Autism and Safety Behaviours in Social Anxiety in Autistic and Non-Autistic Adolescents, recently published in the JCPP. This paper will be the focus of today's podcast. If you're a fan of our Papers podcast series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform, let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. JD, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Can you start with an introduction about who you are and what you do?
Thank you for having me. So my name's JD. I'm a clinical psychologist and also autism researcher. So my primary focus is working with autistic children and young people and supporting their families. And I wrote this paper as part of my clinical psychology doctorate when I was studying at King's.
Thank you. So we're going to look at your JCPP paper today. This is Understanding the Relationship Between Social Camouflaging in Autism and Safety Behaviours in Social Anxiety in Autistic and Non-Autistic Adolescents. I'd like to start with some definitions. So beginning with social camouflaging, including masking, can you define this for us and explain how it typically manifests and how it relates to social anxiety in autistic adolescents?
Social camouflaging is kind of an umbrella term, and it's used to describe a range of behaviours used to hide autism traits, and sometimes it's referred to as masking. So in this particular paper, we used a self-report questionnaire called the Camouflaging Autism Traits Questionnaire to look at slightly different aspects of social camouflaging behaviour. So this included masking, which is around hiding aspects of somebody's autistic presentation or presenting a non-autistic persona to other people. Mm-hmm. It also included compensation, so that's finding ways around kind of the social and communication difficulties you might experience that's associated with having autism. And then the last aspect of camouflaging was assimilation, and this is attempts to try to blend into a social situation where you might feel uncomfortable. So you're trying to not let other people see the discomfort that you might be in. So how it relates to social anxiety? Well, what we know is that when we're thinking about what maintains social anxiety in anybody, is that, you know, when you are feeling worried about how you're going to come across to other people in a social situation or how might other people perceive you, what people often do is they try to engage in behaviors that they believe will keep themselves safe and away from negative perceptions from other people. So these safety behaviors can include things like avoidance, so trying to avoid eye contact, staying on the edge of the group, or it could be behaviors known as kind of impression management behaviors. So this is when you're trying to actively come across well and trying to prevent the things that you're worried about from happening. In this particular paper, what we're interested in is camouflaging in some aspects looks very similar to these impression management behaviors, in the sense that, you know, you're trying to manage how you present yourself in a social situation and you're trying to come across well. In particular, we're interested in how this might present itself during adolescence, because what we know is that the adolescent brain, it's really attuned and very sensitive to peer evaluations. And mm-hmm. So during adolescence, when you're making a decision, you're very much influenced by what peers might think or react to your response, and that desire to fit in and come across well is very strong during adolescence. So we're really interested in how those kind of social worries you might experience about not wanting to come across weird might be really relevant during this developmental phase. And we also know that adolescence is one of the peak periods for people to experience social anxiety as well.
That's really helpful. Just sticking with safety behaviours, in the paper, I think you talk about how this relates both to, well, to social anxiety, but in both autistic and non-autistic adolescents. Mm-hmm. Can you say something about that and perhaps about the difference between the two groups?
Safety behaviours is often referred to in the clinical language used around social anxiety. So these refer to different types of behaviours people might do to keep them safe when they are worried about coming across badly in a social situation. So the motivation there really is to come across well or not to embarrass yourself in a particular social situation. So examples of safety behaviours can include things like avoidance. So trying not to attract attention, avoiding eye contact, staying on the edge of groups. But they can also include things like impression management. So these are things like making an effort to get your words right, maybe rehearsing what you're going to say in your mind, trying to fit in and act normal. And I think it is underneath this kind of impression management behaviours that got me really interested in thinking about how this might look really similar to camouflaging behaviours. Because parts of that camouflaging, when you are thinking about it purely from an autism literature, is that ability to kind of disguise any social communication differences and also trying to fit in and act normal in a social situation. So in this particular paper, I was quite interested in, you know, we have these two sets of behaviours, which when you're just looking at it from the outset, might have some similarities, but from the autism and social anxiety literature, they stem from different kind of mechanisms and motivations. Are we actually able to distinguish the two when you're looking at autistic adolescents in particular who have high levels of social anxiety?
You've already got into some of the details of the paper. Can you give us a kind of overview of what you looked at and why, just to set the scene for us?
Of course, yeah. So in this paper, our primary aim is to understand how camouflaging behaviours and safety behaviours might be differentially related to social anxiety and autism traits in a sample of autistic and non-autistic adolescents. And because of, you know, the overlaps in impression management behaviours and camouflaging behaviours we just talked about, and we know that there's a high level of social anxiety symptoms amongst the autistic children and young people, what really got me interested is in trying to understand, can we actually distinguish between these two sets of behaviours in terms of why people might be doing them? Is it purely related to hiding autism traits? Is it also related to co-occurring levels of social anxiety? And how unique is this to autistic adolescents? Or do we also perceive this in non-autistic adolescents as well? So that was kind of the main aim of our particular study.
And can you tell us a little about the methodology used for this study?
We decided to recruit lots of autistic and non-autistic young people to complete some self-report questionnaires looking at things like autism traits, social anxiety symptoms, and also safety behaviours and camouflaging. So overall, we recruited 115 young people, mostly coming from child and adolescent mental health services, and that included 61 autistic young people and 54 non-autistic adolescents. A main design aspect of this study is because we anticipated autistic young people to have higher levels of social anxiety, what we wanted to know is, you know, we wanted to be sure that the relationships we're seeing is down to differences in autism traits and not because the non-autistic adolescents also have kind of lower levels of social anxiety. So what we try to screen for is we ask non-autistic young people to answer a few short questions on their self-reported levels of social anxiety to try to screen for young people that experienced higher levels of social anxiety in a way that kind of matched the two groups in terms of social anxiety symptom severity. We just asked young people to complete these different questionnaires online, and then we took their self-report measures and inputted all of that data into one kind of model that allowed us to simultaneously look at all of these associations between all of the different constructs to try to understand how behaviours measured under the camouflaging questionnaire and the safety behaviour questionnaire might differentially relate to autism traits and social anxiety across the two groups. Because, you know, most of the young people for our study came from a clinical sample, we wanted to also make sure that the relationships we're seeing are not due to other mental health symptoms, such as generalized anxiety or depression. So we asked young people to also complete those questionnaires, and we were able to control for those different types of symptom severities when looking at these particular relationships as well.
I think I noticed that with the recruitment, you used a rather nice, very accessible video to attract participants.
Yeah.
Just describe that.
This is something I picked up actually during my PhD studies. And I was talking to someone around how do we engage young people, especially autistic young people who often have quite concrete ways of understanding information and can be a little bit harder to reach, and just engage them in a more fun way to tell them what the study is about. And I was talking to someone who used to produce some documentaries for the BBC, actually. And he said, have you ever thought about making a short video? And I thought, wow, that's really interesting to produce some really easy kind of cartoon-like stop motion videos that gives young people a couple of scenarios of what it's like to have social anxiety, experiences that they might be able to relate to. And through that kind of telling a story about somebody who experiences social anxiety and the worries they have, hopefully young people can watch that, relate to some aspects of the video and think, okay, well, this could potentially be something that I can help with or something I'm interested in learning more about. So that was kind of the intention of conveying the study in a slightly more fun way to recruit and engage young people from more diverse backgrounds as well.
Fantastic. And we can include a link to that. Let's return to the findings. What key findings from the paper would you like to highlight?
I think this was the first time that we looked at a sample of autistic and non-autistic young people to look at this potential overlap between camouflaging and safety behaviours in relation to both autism and social anxiety. So I think it was interesting that we found, you know, masking behaviours, so those aspects of trying to hide autism-related traits and impression management behaviours, both showed a very strong positive relationship, suggesting that, you know, the two are at least at face value. Young people reported them to be quite similar, and they were more so associated with social anxiety rather than autism traits. This was particularly interesting because I think often we think about camouflaging as something that's specific to masking autism-related traits, and impression management is very much spoken about in a social anxiety maintenance context. But actually what this study is suggesting is that both aspects actually require you, if you are doing them well, they require you to pay lots of attention to yourself during that social situation, to really self-monitor what's happening, turning that focus of attention inwards to be able to know, you know, this is how I think I'm presenting myself. And this is how I would like to present myself. And so what this study is suggesting is that, you know, if a young person experiencing high levels of social anxiety and they are increasing that attention inwards to focus on how they might be coming across, then that same mechanism potentially operates for camouflaging. And inadvertently, if you are trying to hide some aspects of yourself during a social situation, you might actually be inadvertently reinforcing that pattern of social anxiety as well, because you're not focusing on how other people are actually kind of responding to you in the moment, but you're too worried about, you know, I just don't want to accidentally do anything that might embarrass myself. I guess it's also interesting that this is the first time we recruited lots of young people, largely from a child and adolescent mental health setting. So we know these are young people who are struggling in some aspects of their mental health and seeking support. And so it also allowed us to have a think about, you know, is that camouflaging really specific to just autism traits, or are young people who potentially have mental health difficulties, are they engaging in some aspects of trying to hide those difficulties away from their peers in that particular age group as well?
Were there any gender differences that emerged in the study?
Yeah, so this is a really popular question. Because our sample size was still quite small, so it was not really possible to make very conclusive decisions around gender differences. But we did find that, you know, we asked young people actually to report gender identity rather than biological sex. So when looking at gender identity, what we did find is that this relationship between safety behaviors and social anxiety was stronger in young people who self-identified as male compared to those who are self-identified as female. So perhaps that relationship, you know, between self safety behaviors and social anxiety rather than autism traits is more significant in those who self-identify as male.
I was interested in the idea from your paper that aspects of camouflaging, such as masking and compensation, could be conceptualized as coping strategies in social situations that are not unique to autism. Was that finding unexpected?
I think to some extent, what we know is that, you know, so impression management behaviors in general, it's a very human trait, because we all enter a social situation wanting to put our best foot forward and wanting to present the best version of ourselves. But I think The pressure of feeling like you have to conform to the social norm you're in might not be the same for everybody. So sometimes that could be influenced by your own beliefs around how you might come across or how other people might perceive you. But lots of times these internal factors really interact with external or wider societal beliefs as well. So we know that, for some groups that might be more prone to being perceived with social stigma or perhaps have more negative biased perceptions from other people, they might also be engaging in pressure management behaviours for slightly different reasons as well. I think when you look at these two aspects of behaviors, camouflaging and safety behaviors, especially impression management behaviors, when you just look at the questions at face value, there is quite a bit of overlap in terms of the observable behaviors they might be measuring. But I think it's from that aspect, I don't think it's too surprising that we found the findings in the particular paper, because and young people are interpreting them in a very similar way. But yeah, what is interesting is these same behaviors actually measured in one context might also be maintaining inadvertently mental health difficulties in a slightly different context. And so it was more interesting to think about the broader impact of some of these behaviors, which might go beyond hiding one particular aspect of yourself, but might also influence maintenance and development of mental health difficulties in particular.
We'll look at the implications of that in a moment, but I just wondered if there was anything else in the paper that you would like to highlight.
One thing that really shocked me is, when you're purely looking at one questionnaire, taken at face value, and you might be using that in isolation or interpreting the results from that in isolation, it might not always give you the full picture. So, the questionnaire looking at camouflaging often is framed in the context of autism and looking at autism traits. But actually, when you look at it together with mental health difficulties, that same questionnaire might tap into behaviors that serve a slightly different function. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's quite important for researchers when using either the camouflaging or measuring mental health difficulties to think about how does that same questionnaire operate under different conditions as well? And what other measures are you trying to capture within that particular study?
So what are the implications of your findings for CAM professionals? So, for example, how might your findings inform assessment and treatment of social anxiety disorder for autistic adolescents?
I think that holding in mind some of the limitations of using these questionnaires in isolation, I think it's really important for clinicians to keep that open mind that, interpreting any single assessment measure is not going to give you the full picture. And I think as a clinicians, you're trained in doing very careful assessments and very careful formulations of what's happening with that young person. So I think it is very much maintaining that perspective and to work together with that young person to really understand from their perspective, how are they making sense of these behaviors that when you're just reporting on paper might look really similar, but they might have slightly different, from the young person's perspective, slightly different motivations behind that. So I think it's helpful for clinicians to hold in mind that the same behavior, which might look really similar, some young people might think I'm doing that to hide autism related difficulties, but actually helping the young person to scaffold that thinking a little bit more and explain, maybe through psychoeducation, some of that behavior we know can also maintain social anxiety. So can we help that young person to understand, really weigh up, the pros and cons of that behavior in different settings so they're better able to make a decision around what sorts of behavior experiments they might want to do in social anxiety treatment and what they're willing to kind of change or adapt or drop in a social situation as well.
Any thoughts about the types of interventions or treatments that are useful in from what you've discovered from the research?
Yeah, so what we know is that, this particular model and thinking about safety behaviours in general refers a lot to the Clark and Wells social anxiety model. And that's what informs kind of the cognitive therapy in adults with social anxiety. So a lot of those is constructing kind of behaviour experiments with the individual to think about what might happen if you were to drop the safety behaviours that you are now more aware of in a social situation? And can we test it out? Does your worst kind of predictions that people will find you embarrassing and make these negative remarks, does that really come true when you're not doing some of the safety behaviors? I guess what this paper is highlighting is that some of the camouflaging behaviors might also have a similar effect in terms of maintaining social anxiety. So if you're working with an autistic young person and thinking about structuring those behavioral experiments around what's a safety behavior, what should you test for. Maybe part of that, clarifying young person's predictions, you might want to touch on, do you think any aspect of this might be related to having autism, or is any aspect of the safety behavior you're trying to kind of hide your autism traits? And can we think about that in addition to thinking about the social anxiety aspect of the social situation as well? So I think it's helping clinicians to think a little bit more broadly and bring autism into the conversation when you're structuring those behavior experiments, and think about what's the function of that behavior in a particular context.
Very helpful, thank you. Judy, are you planning any follow-up research, or is there anything else in the pipeline that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, so I think one thing we're also interested in is whether camouflaging behaviours might be related to kind of hiding or compensating for differences for other kind of co-occurring mental health difficulties, not just for autism traits. So we're particularly interested in, you know, often when you have young people coming into CAMS, you ask the young person and their parent and caregivers to give parallel ratings on the young person's kind of mental health symptoms. And what we're interested in is in whether if young people potentially might be engaging in camouflaging or hiding aspects of their mental health difficulties beyond autism traits, whether that might be associated with how parents and caregivers might perceive the young person's mental health and how the young person's rating those symptoms themselves. Mm-hmm. So one of the studies in the pipeline is to look at this caregiver and young person discrepancy ratings on mental health symptoms and look at how that might be associated with young person's reported camouflaging behaviours when accounting for autism traits.
That'd be really interesting. Are you at the recruitment stage? Where are you?
So that paper is actually under review. So fingers crossed that it might have a smooth journey and come out soon.
Good luck. Finally, what is your take-home message for our listeners?
Yeah, I think the message here is just to highlight that behaviours are really multifaceted constructs. So two people who have a very similar behavioral profile might have very different underlying motivations and, you know, as to why they're behaving in that way, or at least a very different understanding of why they think they're behaving in that way. So I think when you're working with a young person in particular, especially autistic young people, to just really, really get to the bottom of, you know, helping them understand why they're doing a particular behavior and what are they hoping to change through that intervention as well. I think when it comes to this camouflaging paper, because, you know, everything was done online and young people only gave these self-report ratings, we weren't really able to have those one-on-one conversations or through more of a qualitative aspect as to why young people might be answering questions in a particular way. So I think, you know, for clinicians trying to translate this into their practice, it'd be really helpful to have more of those conversations and help young people, whether, you know, that's from social anxiety aspect or from autism aspect, to really fully understand motivations that young person might have in terms of doing a particular behavior and have, you know, very clear predictions of what the young person believes might happen, whether due to their social anxiety or due to having autism in a social situation, before you go about manipulating any of these behaviours through intervention.
Brilliant. Judy, thank you ever so much. For more details on Dr. JD Lay, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. Don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.